Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Tell your neighbor, I am. Notice we're not becoming, we are. Now, thankfully, we are becoming more like Jesus. We're becoming more mature. We're becoming more responsible, more loving. But we're not becoming more of a child, more of his son or his daughter. We are. It happened. It's a fact. And so, Message Bible says that we understand who he is. We understand who we are. Father and children. Who we really are. Now, in verse 15, it says, we did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. We did not receive the spirit of bondage. The New Living Translation in verse 15, it says, we are not fearful slaves. We're going to see another parallel text in Galatians where it brings this out. We are not slaves, we are children. Now, thankfully, in the nation of Zambia, when we use the word slave, we have to think back in history, or we have to think to another country for that understanding, all right? It's very upsetting, and it's sad, and not a lot of people know this, but today, in 2015, there are more slaves on planet Earth than at any time in human history. It still exists. And that is where people lose the ownership of their own life and other selfish people use and abuse them for their own selfish reasons. And they are there only for what they can do and only for work. But when Paul said this to the Romans and then he mentioned it to Galatia, when he used the word slave, everybody, they knew exactly what that was. It was a part of that society, unfortunately. And the Romans would conquer different nationalities, and they were conquering the known world, and certain groups, they would say, you know, we like the way they do it, and they would just, because they had the guns, they made the rules. It's kind of the lesson of world history, right? And U.S. history. The guy that has the guns makes the rules. It's not always the way it should be. But So they brought these people into servitude, and they were only there for what they could do. Now, Paul likens this to a spiritual analogy that when we were brought into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, we didn't receive that spirit of bondage again. You see, every religious system in the world And what these Gentiles had gone through, idol worship, and Paul's background of Judaism, every religious system in the world, you are okay with your God when you do something, if you do something. Remember in Deuteronomy 28, all the blessings of Abraham, and they were listed, and they were so awesome, the catch was how you got them. And it was a really big problem of how you entered into those blessings. And under the old covenant, it said that all these blessings will follow you and overtake you if you listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God all the time. How many of you know that in and of itself is a challenge, right? Okay. And then the other part was, and if you faithfully fulfill all of these words, the entire Levitical system, if you do all of them, then you are in line for the blessing. If you get one thing wrong, then cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. And guess what? The Bible makes it clear, and our lives make it clear. All have sinned and fallen short. So who qualified for the blessings? No one. No one. There is none righteous. No, not one, not even your grandmother. No, not one. Because we're all thinking, man, probably that one. No, not one. And so we were all under this bondage of, have I done enough? Am I good enough? And the law spoke very clearly to you, no, you're not. You're not good enough. And many of the systems that we grew up in this world told us, you're not good enough. Why aren't you like your brother? The way, see how he does it? Why don't you be like your brother? What were your parents telling you? You are not good enough. Girls that buy magazines and look on the internet, and all of these models are photoshopped, and in surgery things are taken out and put in, and the world tells them, you're not pretty enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not rich enough. Well, I got the Lamborghini. Oh, yeah, but the guy in Dubai, he has a gold-plated Lamborghini. You're not good enough. You haven't done enough. And so this message comes to us in a million ways. And in a way, it's true. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not rich enough. And we take that mentality, and every world religion is built on that, and that's how you get to go, that's how they get you into church. It's because you have to do this. You have to pray this way, this many times. You have to do this, and you gotta count, and you gotta give them money. And then that's how God will smile and give you stuff. So we bring this mentality even into our spiritual life with God, and yes, we're his children, but we hear this voice from heaven saying, you're not good enough. You're not like your brother. And if we're honest, we go, yep, you're right. Huh? You know, as a pastor, I love Christian TV, but the problem with Christian TV is there's all these awesome churches on TV. I like watching Hillsong and Brian Houston, but you know, I look at that stuff and I think, I am not good enough, right? Well, see here, the Bible says, hey, you have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear. It means you used to be in fear, but it's possible that you could be in fear again. You see, we have not been given a spirit of bondage. We are no longer slaves. We are God's children. You can't be a slave and a child at the same time. You are one or the other. And by the time we're finished today, I'm going to tell you, choose you this day which you are. And I think you're going to make the right choice. See, it is not the same. Something changed. It's not that way. You received the spirit of adoption that drives out that spirit of bondage. We are not fearful slaves. Again, a fearful slave, that's a kind of an interesting term in the New Living Translation. A fearful slave, I think when I read that, I thought, well, what other kind of slaves are there? It's like happy ice cream eaters. What, you don't see people eating ice cream depressed, do you? Of course you're a happy ice cream eater, right? So you're a fearful slave because, again, the only reason I'm here in this place is for my work. I have no value to the boss unless I'm working. And so I'm always under this fear, have I done enough? Oh my gosh, this guy's doing more than me. Oh, I'm getting 65 years old. I'm old. I can't do what I did when I was 30. And so I'm living under this umbrella, living under this odor of fear that dominates my life. But you see, there's something else that happened in the kingdom of God. We're not under that bondage of fear. There is love. There is acceptance. We are the children of God. You see, acceptance would be withheld if you're not good enough. All right? It is not like that anymore. Let me read the whole thing from the New Living Translation. Verse 15, Romans 8. You have not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Instead, you receive God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. No longer does something on the inside of us tell us, you haven't done enough. You're not good enough. Someone else is better. And we may be tempted to think, but there's another spirit on the inside of us. And I'm trying to amplify the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of your heart for the rest of your life, to listen to him, to say, you are a child of God. Just like we heard in that song, I am a child of God. Turn over to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, because obviously this was a big deal of Paul's gospel message, because he didn't just write this to one church. He wrote it to another church. And oh, these poor Galatians, boy, were they going back to be in slavery. They had come out of idol worship. They had never known the God of Israel. They were just people who lived according to the crazy religion of their day. And they met Jesus, and Jesus was enough, and Jesus forgave them, and Jesus brought them into freedom and liberty and gave them a brand new life. But yet these other people came in called the Judaizers behind the teachings of Paul, and they were saying, yes, Jesus is good, but you got to do this and this and this and circumcision. Now, for someone who had never heard of circumcision, certainly somebody would have thought, you want me to do what? Right? There's no doctors or, you know, nice surgeries that we have today, okay? But they were saying, Jesus is not enough. You have to do something for God to accept you. And Paul obliterated that doctrine. And he just beat it to a bloody pulp. And he used real forceful and strong language. But now he's affirming them. He's reminding them of who they are. Galatians 4 and verse 4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Notice it doesn't say that we might receive another list of do's and don'ts, another system of trying to make God happy. No, we didn't receive that. We received adoption. And because you are sons, God has set forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. You are no longer a slave, but a son. You see, what the Judaizers were doing is the Galatians had become children of God. And they were running and they were free. And these free men, the Judaizers, were trying to come and put shackles on them to bring them back. Imagine the freedom statue guy. He's free, right? And then some religion tries to come back and say, hey, let's put you back under the chains. Let's put you back under the bondage that you broke out of. You see, there's a whole lot of religion. There's no freedom statue. There's a bondage statue. Under the bondage of have I done enough? Under this fear. No, you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. An heir means you get all the stuff. All the blessings of God are yours in Christ, not in the law of Abraham, not in have I done enough. It's because I'm a son. I remember when we first left the home of our birth, and we lived in South Africa, and we would, about every year, year and a half, we would visit, we'd preach, and we would always see our parents. And you know, there's a great book I think we have in the bookshop. There's 5 love languages. And if you're married, you should know your spouse's love language. I grew up in a home, we had a 6th love language. It's called food. Okay? And did anybody live in a home where you had a love language of food? Are you getting hungry? Anyway, So both my mom and my dad, they were divorced, had separate homes. But separately, whenever I would go and visit them, they would pack out the refrigerator and the pantry with all kind of stuff. With all kind of stuff. And they would always say this. And they always like to do this. And my dad took a long time. You know, and he would open the door. We've got this, and we've got this, and we've got this. And we've got 17 vegetable soup that I've been making for you. I mean, he counted all the veggies. And he said, all of this is for you. All of this is for you. And on day two or three, if I wasn't eating it, they would get upset. I can't eat all this. I live by myself. Eat it. And so reluctantly, under pressure, I ate it, right? Whenever I'd go to visit my dad, we'd always have ice cream and chocolate sauce. And he'd make milkshakes. The first time I went to South Africa and I ordered a milkshake, I said, what is this? There's no shake. There's no ice. What is this? No, you gotta get the double thick. Well, my dad made like 10 thick, and he put in so much chocolate sauce, it was the color of this monitor. I mean, it was, freaked my wife out, but it was so awesome, you know? And so, because I'm a son, I am an heir. Because of my family position, all that was bought with me in mind. See, all the blessings we see from God didn't need healing. God doesn't need deliverance. God doesn't need prosperity. God doesn't need wisdom. All of those things are for us. And when God put them in our redemption, he was thinking about our human condition. Grace. Oh, they're going to need something. I want them to get married. Oh, yeah, let's give them extra great grace to get married. Yeah, they're going to need that. They're going to need wisdom and the curse in that earth. They're going to need their bodies to be healed. It's all in that for us. Because we're a son, we're an heir. Imagine how offended my parents would be if I was trying to work for what was mine. But Christians do it all the time. Live in their father's house with the mentality of a slave. Say to your neighbor, I'm not a slave. New Living Translation in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Prompting us. Now again, we mentioned this last week, but that word, Abba, Father, it's two words, all right? And the first word, Abba, is daddy, it's tata, it's papa. It's the first words that come off of a baby's lips about their dad. So there's an innocence, there's a realization of how big he is, there's a realization, we are together, and this is awesome. I remember one time we were at a public place one time, and our kids would be with us, and Tim was just about 3 years old, and he wasn't sure that we were there, and he got a little bit ahead in the queue, and there was just another guy that was beside him, and so he just reached out and grabbed his hand, thought it was me, and then he looked up and he let go, and then he found me and grabbed my hand. So it's that age. It's sitting on the lap. It's being fed. It's papa, tata, right? But that's not all there is. There's another word called father, and that's the Greek word is for a mature son, a grown-up son, a partner in the business. And yes, this is my father, but I know who he is. He knows who I am, and God becomes Abba, Father. Tata, Father. Now, you see, one of the things that was interesting in the culture of the Bible was that slaves in the home were treated very, very different than the children. And one of the things that distinguished them is that the slaves were forbidden to use that language, Abba. You can't call, because they may have heard the other, you know, children, and they would say, no, you cannot use that language. The Message Bible brings that out in verse 6. It says, you can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as his own children because God sent the Spirit of his Son into our lives crying out, Papa, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? Not a slave, but a child. You can tell. He prompts us. All right? It's part of our relationship. You know, the world that we live in is fairly, it's a big deal what we call each other, isn't it, in some circles, in some settings. Your Excellency, Your Honor, Honorable. Sorry, I'm not going to use the joke that just came to my mind. All right. Your Excellence, Your Worship, Your Lord. These are words that we call each other. And I don't know if you've ever been in a setting where someone corrects you. I remember one time I knew somebody that, I'll change the names to protect the guilty, but you know, before she was married, she was Sally. And everybody, she's Sally, and Sally, 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 you know. Well, she gets married, and now I'm Mrs. Peary. Well, aren't you Sally? I'm Mrs. Peary. Okay. Well, has our relationship, I mean, I'm glad you got married, and I know your relationship to that guy has changed. That's awesome, but our relationship hasn't changed, right? Right? And this is a big deal because we want to define our relationship with this language, don't we? And typically the language is, I'm above you. I'm above you. And if I use this language, then that keeps you down and me up. And unfortunately, that's a horrible thing we do to each other. Okay? Now, maybe you've got a job, I've got a job, we've got jobs, right? But no one is above one another in the way God created us. There is no male or female. There is no free or bond. There is no nationality, right? That's what Paul said in another writing. So our relationship with God, and again, that so many people, you know, they feel so comfortable. Oh, God most high, thou hast above me. Oh, great Jehovah. And people are calling God words I didn't even know were in the Bible. But they, you know, Stop it. That's not what God told you to call him. Remember, prayer, our Father. The Spirit of God on the inside of you. He's crying out, Papa, 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 Daddy, Tata, Father. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to say. And every time you in prayer, oh, the mass God, the Holy Spirit is going, oh, please, shut up. Will you just shut up? Because he's crying out. He's prompting you. And you're not listening to his prompting. You're listening to the language of a slave. You're listening to the language of a slave. Now, I've had in time in life where, you know, somebody's fairly, you know, they've got names and this and titles and everything, but they tell me, hey, just call me. Boop. All right. Then I'm going to honor you by doing what you just told me. I'm going to honor you. Amen. So let's do that. Let's honor him. Because the other thing is, folks, this isn't just a matter of semantics. It's for real. This is real stuff. All right. This is who we are. We are no longer having a relationship with God that is based on what we do and what we don't do. Now, we are to be children who represent him. God does have a job for us. And our number one job is to glorify him. It's just to shine, to be a light. And that's our number one job. And then he positions us where that is. All right. And so he wants to share and dispense that glory through us. Another thing says that in Hebrews, it says he brought many sons, many children to glory. Whose glory? His glory. All right. So there's stuff that we do, but we're brought in as children. Turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter. And this is one of the most poignant, clear examples we have of Scripture of these two mindsets, but also what it does to individuals. We also see God's reaction to both of these mindsets. And what we have in Luke 15 is we have there are three parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the rebellious son, the wayward son, the prodigal son, okay? We really can't call him the lost son because he knew where home was. He wasn't lost. He was rebellious. And so Jesus is telling this about the heart of his father. And so the younger son asks for his inheritance. It's divided. And he goes off and he wastes all of the money that was for his future and for his children's future on what the Bible says, riotous living. Isn't it interesting? 2,000 years ago, or 2,000 years from then, the world will certainly help you lose money with riotous living. It doesn't matter how much money you have, there's somewhere in the world that will help you part from it by being foolish. So he lost the money, he lost his friends, he lost his food, and here he is as a Jewish boy. He's working as a worker, doing a slave's job of feeding pigs. That's how many of you know that's not on the top of the list of great jobs? And it wasn't there either. And so here he is. He's about to feed the pigs, and he's treated so harshly. He doesn't even obviously have enough to eat. And he was about to eat the pig's food. How many of you know that's hungry? He's about to eat the pig's food, and in that moment of despair and the consequences of his sin, the Bible says he came to himself. And he thinks, whoa, 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 whoa. And where his mind went was to his father's house. And he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare? You see, this was a good father, wasn't he? He loved his boys, but even his servants had more than enough food. The workers were looked after. And so he said, and he had this idea, all right? Look at this in Luke 15, 17, because he hatched this plan. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise and I will go to my father and say to him, Father, there's three things he's going to say to him. And notice there are three things. One, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Two, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Three, make me like one of your hired servants. So what was the strategy of the son? The son was going home to be a slave. Do you see that? Because he had determined, the second part of it, he had determined, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer worthy. Now, what caused him to determine that? What was it? Did his father send him a letter? You are no longer worthy? No, we don't see that. Was there any communication from the father that told him that? No. He decided that himself based on what he had done. His activities and his sin and his wasteful living had reduced him to the mentality of a slave. Even though I was born with his DNA, even though I was raised on his knee, even though my name is there, I am no longer a son because of what I have done. I don't want to die. I want to go back, and I am going to work for my father's blessings. I'm going home to be a slave. Do you see that? That was his mentality. At least I can eat. Why did he think this way? Because of his behavior. I will be treated differently. I will be thought of differently because of what I have done. Now, here's the thing. He looked like a slave. He was acting like a slave. He sure smelled like a slave. But the worst part of it is now he thought like a slave. It was inside of him. And he believed that. All right, so here he comes with his, remember, his 3-point strategy to eat. People talk about true repentance, false repentance. This was food repentance, okay? That's why he was going home. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wait a second. Do you think he got a bath before he was with the pigs? Did you ever kiss somebody and you tasted something else? That's what the father did. He got a big whopping pig kiss right there. And the son, okay, so here he is. So he gets this reception. Wow, I wasn't expecting this, but wait, okay, 3 points. And the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Did the father interrupt him? Not right there, no. Did he sin against God and his dad? Yes, he did. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son, but the father. See, he had another point. He had the third one practiced and rehearsed in his mind. But when the father heard, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, the father says, oh. Shut up. But the father said to his servants, ignoring the son, I'm not even going to talk to this kid, bring out the best robe. And by the way, servants, that's not the robe I let you wear. It's the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. In the culture of Jesus, servants were not allowed to wear shoes. It was forbidden by law. So you were a fearful slave and you were a barefoot slave. So I'm coming with the mentality of a slave. Whoa. The best robe. The family ring with the crescent on it that tells me I'm a part of the family. Shoes on my feet. I smell like a slave, but I look like a son. Bring out the fatted calf and kill it. Slaves don't eat that food. So he got new food, he got new clothes, but the most important thing was not the party, but was the declaration. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son, no longer a slave, but a son. no longer feeding pigs, but a son. No longer barefoot, but a son. This, my son. And he didn't just tell him. He told all the whole family, told the whole company. This, my son. He was dead, but he's alive. He's alive. Kill the fatted calf. Crank up the speakers. Get the neighbors mad. He was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found. And they began to be merry. Whoop, 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 right? They invited Mag 4 and Mag 44. Hallelujah. If you're not laughing, you are late for church. All right, now, unfortunately, wouldn't this be a great time to end the parable? And they began to be merry. I love watching movies where that's the end, you know? They're dancing, they're having fun. The end. Satisfied. All right. It doesn't end that way. They began to be merry except for one. Let's see about this other guy. Verse 25. Now his older brother was in the field. What was he doing in the field? Working, of course. And he came and drew near the house and he heard music and dancing. Now, this is the first problem we see. Because when a party is going on at your house and you're in the field, you're messed up. So he called one of the servants and asked, "What do these things mean?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry. He was angry. Now we're going to see who was he angry with? Not his brother, his dad. He was angry with his dad. He was angry and would not go in. "I refuse to dance. I refuse to go to the party." Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. "Come on, the party's going." So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years." How many years? Not a few, many years. "I have been serving you." Who? I. "I have never transgressed your commandment at any time." Liar, liar, pants on fire. "And you never gave me a young goat." Would you rather have a fatted big cow or a little goat? Things haven't changed too much. "That I might make merry with my friends." What was he saying? "I deserve this. He doesn't. I do. But as soon as this son of yours," notice he doesn't even call him his brother, "as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots," he's the first person to speak of harlots. Religious people always think they know about your sin. "You killed the fatted calf for him." This son also had the mentality of a servant. He was in the house. He was clean. He hadn't wasted any money. But his relationship to his father was about his work. It was about his performance. "I've never left. I've been good." And listen to what the father's response was. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." Another way to say it is, the reason why there haven't been any parties here is because of your fault. " You never get, I'm waiting on God. Why God? If you have an element of anger towards God, you are religious. And you've got more problems than you realize. Because the thing about the prodigal, and please don't become a prodigal, it's not a great life. But at least the prodigal knows, like the man in the temple that beat his chest, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. The Pharisee was the one that prayed, oh God, thank you that I'm not like other men. Blinded. Son, you're always with me and all that I have is yours. It was right. Say it was right. That we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive and was lost and is found. So there are two slaves in this story. There's the slave that is obvious. There's the slave that has wasted away his life. There's the slave that has messed up. There is the slave who is stinky. There is the slave that everybody is talking about, shame ridden. I'm not measuring up, so I can't be a child. I can't be a son. I can't, this whole inheritance thing. No. I'm just going to go back for bread. But then there's another slave who is an arrogant churchgoer that feels they have deserved the blessing. Have you ever heard somebody give a testimony and God is not mentioned in the testimony? Well, I just want to testify before the Lord. I tell you what, I planted a seed and I stood on the word and I fasted and prayed. Was it 22 days? I'm sure you want to know that. In fact, I just came off of a fast yesterday. It was the Daniel fast. It was the Walker fast. It was the I'm so awesome fast. And I just want to announce that to you. And I've worked and I've done. And I bless his holy name. Sorry, a testimony magnifies God. All you did was tell us how awesome you are. But see, you know what you have? You've got the mentality of a slave. You are not living. You are not relating to your father as a son. The older brother used this language. I never, I always. Most likely, both statements were not true. They were based on arrogance. They were based on an inflated view of himself. I didn't do what that one did. Maybe you're 32 years old and you've kept yourself before God and you've kept yourself holy before God. And you're a virgin. And yet you fall in love with somebody, a lady, who has a child out of wedlock. Huh. I deserve better than that. You deserve hell. And that's all. You don't deserve anything. No, because when she repented before God and she gave her heart to Jesus, oh, she was washed whiter than snow. Ooh, she will love you till the day you die, I betcha. You can try out that spirit of adoption and say, you know, that father, he's gone, he's left. That child is going to be mine. And I'm going to raise him as my son.
Oh, I deserve better. I and my family.
Working during the party. Yep, that's you, all right. I didn't do what this one did. You see, we do not measure our righteousness this way. How much did you give? How much do you pray? Oh, pretty good. See, ever since, at least boys, ever since we were little, you know, what do we, you get to, you know, grade one, and you get out, you go to the gun show. All right, let's see. Feel that. Let me see. Mine's bigger than yours.
My car is bigger. My ego is bigger.
That's why we like labels on our clothes, is because it announces to you, I'm bigger. See that? Yeah, baby. Measuring. I've done this and your son did that. I deserve more. Oh my goodness, you're a bondage. You are a slave. You've got chains and you don't even know it. I deserve is the mentality of a slave. Living in the house with the mentality of a slave, not aware of his father's love, nor of his father's inheritance. What did Galatians say? Let's go back to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. New Living Translation. Verse 5, God sent him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law. See, we can't change. It's nothing that we can do. So that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now. You are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're his child, he has made you an heir. And you know what? God has big things for every single person in this auditorium. And I hope you get names in front and in back of your name. And I hope you get all the education that God wants you to get, and that will help your career, and that will help you obey and fulfill the will of God. Amen. I hope you manage your money well, and I hope you give like a wild person, and God blesses you, and you're generous. You're still a son of God. You're still a child of God. Still a child of God. I remember for 8 years when we lived in South Africa, we were members at Rhema Bible Church, and our pastor then, Ray McCauley, he'd tell this story, and now I understand pastors that tell the same stories, but he always told this story. He was with Reinhard Bunke in a country, and he was just attending this crusade, and the crusade was awesome, and all these things were happening and everything, and they came back to the hotel, and he's all full of the fire of God and everything, and he's coming into the lobby, and there outside of the hotel is a man just drunk and had vomited all over himself. And in his mind, he thought, what a waste. Look at you. I've got the fire of God. This is about, you know, we're building the kingdom. And he despised that man and walked right by him. And the Holy Spirit just jumped up on the inside of him and said, son, the only difference between you and him is me. You see, when we're no longer a slave and we're a son, not only do we change the way we see God, we change the way we see ourselves, but we also change the way we see one another. That Bemba Luzi Tonga, Zimbabwean Chinese. I, my family. The only difference between you and them is God. Amen. There's nothing that you can do to make you more of a son, more of a daughter. But see, the other thing is when you realize who you are, you'll stop posing. You'll stop trying to become something that you're not and just be who you are. And if God gave you a big head and small ears, hallelujah, I am God's son and I've got a big head and small ears. And we will, at least at Miracle Life, we'll put all the people that want us to darken and lighten and straighten, we'll put them out of business. Because I am so happy with who God made me. I'm so happy because I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. Amen. And that's my identity. I'm a child of God who happens to be from Chapata. I'm a child of God who happens to be from Sulawesi. I'm a child of God who happens to be from, I have no idea where I'm from, but my family's from all over the place. I don't even know where they were born, but I'm just a child of God. Amen. That's who you really are. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. Father, I ask you right now, you said in your word that you said, God, that the Spirit of God himself would bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And Holy Spirit, today we've sung and we've talked, we've listened, but may we go from this place not having heard, but having something branded on our heart. I am not God's worker. I am not God's slave. I am his child. I am his daughter. I am his son. I am in the family. He throws parties for me. And the stuff from my past, he washes and gives me a robe of righteousness. And God, may both mentalities of servant, of being a slave, may they both die right now. May they die. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We give you thanks. Put your hand on your heart right now. Every believer of Jesus, every child of God, say this with me. And we're going to say things that the Holy Spirit has been telling you for a long, long time. Say this with me. Say, Father, Daddy, Tata, I know who you are. I know who I am. I'm your child. There may be many. So go say that. There may be many who do not see me that way. But I believe what you say. I see what you see. And I live that way. I conduct my relationships that way. I am a child of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just go ahead and continue to pray. I'd ask you just to talk to him. Talk to him right now. Sometimes Jesus would say this. He'd say, repent and believe. Repent and believe. And maybe some of you in this place, you need to do that. You need to repent and believe. God, I'm so sorry for trying to work my way back to you. God, I'm so sorry for trying to outshine somebody else. Father, I will stop listening to the voices of family members that are different than yours, God. I will hear your voice calling out from heaven, this is my son. This is my daughter. Just go ahead and talk to him right now. And while you're praying, right now I'd ask every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place, we talked about being a son. We talked about being a daughter. Maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not sure if I am a child of God. I'm not altogether sure. Well, I grew up in a home where people loved Jesus. I grew up in a home where we went to church. I went to a church where I took communion. I was water baptized when I was an infant. But friend, I was not a child of God. I had not given him my heart. I had not believed on him. I had not confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And if you're here today and you realize, you know what, I've never made that decision. I've never chosen to follow Jesus Christ. That's never happened in my life, but it can. You can be born again. You can be in the family of God. Or maybe you are like that prodigal son, and your clothes are dirty, and your heart is dirty, and your life is full of shame, and you've been running away from God, and today you realize I can come home, and I'll find a father who will restore me. I'll find the family of God that will love me. You can come home today, and wherever you are, come home to your Father right now. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I want to be a part of the family of God. I want to be his son, his daughter, or I want to come home. Wherever you are right now, just simply lift up your hand, wave it at me. Say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be in the family of God. I want to give Jesus Christ my heart. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you over here. Thank you, ma'am. I'm coming home to my Father. Maybe you've heard from older brothers who said you're dirty. Thank you, ma'am. No. Just go ahead and come home to the Father today. Come home to the Father today. Anybody else? He loves you. He cares for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, don't spend another day with the pigs. Just come to your Father right now. Let's give these folks a big, big hand clap as they're coming. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's keep clapping. I know there are some hands. Come on. We love you. You don't have to be embarrassed. Sometimes we think, well, what are people going to think? Every single person in this auditorium is going to think, you're wonderful. You're smart. You're beautiful. Just come. Just come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, sir. God bless you. Would you just lift up your hand to heaven right now? Say this with me. Say, God, I believe you sent Jesus to die in my place. He was forgiven. He was punished so that I could be forgiven. I give you my heart. I give you my whole life. I follow Jesus. I turn away from every sin and from every wrong thing. Thank you, Jesus. I love you. I'm in the family of God. Amen.